The BBC presents My Music. A radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to another edition of My Music, in which we present Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden, locked in mortal musical combat with John Amos and Frank Muir. In this first round, all the music is in some respect or other slightly unusual. For example, Ian Wallace, you'll know which operatic favourite this is you're hearing, but who is singing it? Ian.
That's a very curious experience, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
I can identify what is being sung. It's the sextet from Lucia de Lammermoor.
Thank you. Now,
I don't think that's an operatic artiste.
No, you could say that. No, the young lady is not an operatic artiste.
It wasn't Madame Callas on her fifth birthday.
No, but you're getting very warm, I must say.
What, by fifth birthday?
Yeah, yes, or thereabouts, yes. Have a go. Give me a name.
Well, the only person I can think who might have sung on her fifth birthday would be Shirley Temple.
Not necessarily on her fifth, but Shirley Temple it was, and you get a mark. Well done. In case you'd not guessed that it was...
I think she would have been better to stick to animal crackers.
Well, in case you'd not guessed that it was Shirley Temple, I would prepared a clue. I was going to play you this, which is also Shirley Temple, in a more familiar role.
Good night, my love. Your mommy is kneeling beside you.
Et cetera. Enough of that. Dennis, this too is a period piece.
Well, they wear 'em down at Princeton, and they share 'em up at Yale. They eat in them at Harvard, but they sleep in them in jail. At Penn, they're made of rabbit, at Vassar, sex appeal. At Nebraska, made of Airedale,
in Chicago, lined with steel.
From every college campus comes a cheer.
Oy, oy!
Etc. Dennis, what is it they wear? They wear them at Yale and Harvard.
Well, is that sort of just around about Prohibition time? Is that
yes,
around about the great sort of cartoons that they used to have in Judge and those magazines? They used to wear sort of straw hats, and I think they were called raccoon coats.
Raccoon
wraparound.
Raccoon coats, it is. Gets you a mark. I always think of Jack Oakey wearing a raccoon coat.
Yeah.
One mark to Dennis for raccoon coats. That's right. The record is by George Olson and his music made in 1928. John Amos, this is one famous composer sounding, I think, very like another. Composer.
Ravel.
Yes, sounding very like, surely.
Gershwin.
Yes, Maurice Ravel from his...
Piano Concerto in G. I've got a friend here who has actually played that piece here.
Really? Anyway, a mark to you, John, for that observation. Frank, this is an unusual record made in 1927. What is it that's unusual about it? Something technically unusual about that.
The scratch has been removed.
Yes, it has to some extent. That's true enough.
It sounds like a violinist getting new catgut the hard way.
You're on the right sort of lines, in a way.
Don't you think, Frank, it might be just the very fact that it was a violinist that early?
Oh, no.
Rather unusual.
No, not. Wasn't early for Jovanuti, and it was, in fact, Jovanuti playing it. No, I can't give you this, can I? He was playing four-part...
Well, you could, actually, you know.
He was playing four-part harmony, which is very hard to do on a normal violin because the strings aren't strung in a way that you can play four notes at the same time. What he'd done was to wrap the hair part of this bow over the strings...
That's clever.
...the wooden part of the bow under.
That's clever.
And he was playing four-part harmony and a piece called Four String Joe. It's clever, and it gets him a mark, but I'm afraid not you. As everyone knows, a violin has four strings. A double bass has four, or perhaps sometimes five. How about some of the other instruments, though? Ian, back to you again. Which instrument has three strings?
Well, perhaps Joe Venuti's violin, when he played that piece a little too energetically.
Yeah, that's possible, yes.
Or... Now, through the mists of time, I seem to recall you mentioning something that dancing masters kept in their jacket pocket.
That's right, you got
it. That had three strings.
Do you remember what it was called, Dennis?
Yes, wait a minute. It was called a kit.
A kit gets you two marks there, because a kit has three strings also. Rather easier, I would have thought, the balalaika. Is a three-string instrument.
Is it?
Dennis, your turn. Which instrument has one string? And because that's so easy, can you name two virtuosi of the instrument?
One string.
One string, yes.
You know what came into my mind was that... What's the name of that narrative painting called The Hope of the World, where there's the figure of Hope, who is plucking a lyre and gallantly trying to get a tune out, but even though it has only one string left, she would be a virtuoso player of a one-string instrument, wouldn't she?
Yes.
The only other one I can think of, I don't know, is that thing that Bennett and Williams used to play, which was called a phono fiddle.
You do have two marks, because the phono fiddle was the answer I wanted, and Bennett and Williams, the two virtuosi, as I termed them. John, which instrument has 47 strings?
Harp.
Yes. I'm not accustomed to these monosyllabic answers. The harp has 47 strings and 7 pedals. Frank, your turn. What has 13 strings?
It's a string group consisting of a guitar, violin and balalaika. It works.
Or a 13/47th of a harp, I think we do. Yes, that's right. I could give you a clue. I could say, ah, so.
It's a Japanese.
Yes. Yes, all right. Well, I think one mark out of the two would do nicely there. The koto is the instrument which has 13 strings, and the notes, I'm credibly informed, are formed by sliding the bridge along, which is a rather desperate thing to do, isn't it, John, on a string instrument? Sliding the bridge to and fro, but that's how they do it. With the aid of several hundred strings, I will now play upon my piano, or rather the BBC's piano, my own being much too precious to waste on a programme like this. It's...
Charming,
says Ian. Never mind. It's a piano medley, in other words, with Ian and Dennis working together to see if they can write down the names of these six tunes. Here we go. Six. Now, Ian, you must have got the first one.
Yes, E luci vanne stelle from Tosca.
Yes, that's half a mark then. Right, the second tune?
A touch of the chives.
Yes.
The Swan Lake. Yes.
Swan Lake is Sen from Swan Lake. Yes, that's good enough. Then came Dennis.
Summertime.
Yeah.
Corgi.
Good. Then?
I go over to my friend now.
Yes.
Then the flavour was tangerine.
That's the flavour of the month, yes.
Yeah,
and then a little bit of...
Then you really dug one up.
Well, no, there was another little one squeezed in before the last one, you know.
Well, that was sneaky then.
I didn't get a squeeze after.
There was a little bit of tea for two, which overlapped with tangerine. And then the sneaky one. You got it, did you?
George's Got a Moon.
Yeah. Yes.
Down south, you can't go wrong, because George's Got a Moon.
George's Got a Moon. Max and Harry Nesbitt,
wrote Tears on My Pillow.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. So it's 5 out of 6, 2.5 marks out of 3. Good for you. John and Frank, 6 tunes
slow.
For you.
Slow.
Right, here we go. Okay, slow. I did start slow for you. Right, did you get the first one, John? It would be you, if anybody, I think.
I've got Schubert and Schumann both written down.
Well, you were right the first time, but it doesn't give you the title.
The Impromptu in G-flat.
Oh, yes, you got it. That's right. Schubert, Impromptu in G-flat, yes.
Oh,
leading
gee,
into...
if you want to play it in G. People do.
Yes, yes, yes. Leading into the one that I thought Frank might get.
Did you?
An old ballad.
What did you base that on? It's something like Delia or something.
No, but it is something like Delia.
Not Velia, because that's the other one.
John, you didn't get it, did you?
No.
It was Makushla.
Oh,
Makushla, Makushla.
Makushla, Makushla,
the realms of opera, then, with John?
An opera called La Bohème.
Yes.
When is that?
Which bit? Somebody trying to find... Give us a light.
Your tiny mitty...
Yes, that's right. Yes. Your tiny hand is frozen, how's your poor old feet, as a friend of mine used to say. Then came a piano piece.
Yes, I knew that.
Waiting for
the middle bit of Grieg's Wedding Day in Haugen.
What's the middle bit of a wedding
Grieg's
day?
Wedding day.
As you're cutting the sandwiches.
Checking
the champagne.
There was a little bit of Noel Coward after that, Frank. Did you get it?
I didn't get the wedding.
No.
What was it?
You didn't get it. A little bit of Noel Coward came out.
No. Hum it again.
Another middle bit.
No, that's not a very good middle bit, anyway.
Well, he thought so. It was If Love Were All from Bittersweet. And finally, you must have got the last one.
Everybody loves a baby, that's why I'm in love with you. Pretty baby, comma, pretty baby.
Pretty baby. Pretty baby, 3 right, 1.5 out of 3. Let's have a look at the score. You won't like this bit, Frank. Leading at the moment by 3 marks, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. I think it's time we heard some more singing. In fact, it's Frank Sinatra. Ian, can you supply the title of the song, please? The title and the composer.
And now the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart.
I knew that.
So on, very nice too. Ian, title and composer.
That, I think, marks the great moment of complete self-confidence in a singer's career. When he reaches that stage when he says, all that I need to do is to sing the verse and not bother about the chorus at all. That was a marvellous recording by Frank Sinatra of the verse of Stardust, and he didn't record the chorus on that occasion. I don't think at all.
He never did actually go to...
No.
And that gets you, well, half a mark. The composer, did you say?
A gentleman called Hoagie Carmichael.
Carmichael, that's right. Half marks make one mark. Dennis, what was unusual about Frank Sinatra's recording of Stardust? It says here.
I think I'll have a sweet.
Yeah.
And it's just sweet. And,
as you so rightly say, he recorded the verse and not the chorus. We've covered all that, but I must give you the mark because it came from your side. John, this is from the Harpo Marx version of Stardust. Well, question, John, is what was odd about the harp playing of Harpo Marx? Something very strange about his harp playing.
He played it the wrong way round.
In the sort
of mirror. He put it on the wrong shoulder.
That's right. He was untrained. He rested the instrument on his right shoulder. He was a southpaw harpist, you might say.
It's true.
Yes, and that gets you a mark. A very curious little episode in musical history, if you like. Frank, the question for you is, who is the singer?
Though I dream in vain, in my heart it will remain, my Stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
I know it. It's Lance Corporal Bethersby. And it was in the Naffy at Aldershot. Could be anybody.
It's a rather proudly commonplace kind of person. I have to tell you that he... what can I tell you about him to give you a little hint for, say, half a mark?
Such is his name.
He's a very, very wealthy man, indeed, and so are his three mates.
One of a group.
Yes, the group, really.
The Beatles.
Yes, all right. Then which one?
The only one who'd have the effrontery to stand up and do that is Ringo.
Yes, Ringo Starr. I think half a mark would do that. Here are some potted opera plots. Ian, the heroine found weeping in the forest, loses her wedding ring and eventually her life. Standing at the bedside is Arkell. It's the truth.
Yes, I think I know this. This is... it's Debussy.
Ah, yes. The title.
Pelléas and Mélisande.
Yes, that's right. First produced in Paris in 1902, in case you'd asked me. One mark to you, and I think we might just hear a few bars from it.
Je ne vous ferai pas. Vous êtes belle. Ne me touchez pas.
And so on.
My favourite bit is when she's dragged around by her hair by her husband, and after about 5 minutes of this, she says, "Je ne suis pas heureuse."
I should think not. Dennis, another potted plot from the world of opera. Wally Pride enters the Eurovision Song Contest with a song about an impossible dream, and he wins the contest despite an official objection from the town clerk. Now, what opera would that be?
Well, it's the one about Wally Pride who enters the Super and the town clerk objects. Is that one, isn't
that's
it?
The one. That's the one, yes. I don't know how you got to it, but that's the one.
It's Pride and Prejudice.
That's very clever, actually, but it's... Wally Pride is my translation of his name. Ian may have spotted
that. I've just had a message passed that says it's a Mr. Singer by Wagner. Oh, Meistersinger.
He's a boy, actually, yeah. Master Singer. Yes, actually, Wally Pride was my translation of Walter von Stolzing, and it's the Master Singers, of course, the Eurovision Song Contest, and his dream song, his prize song, which goes like this. The day when a Eurovision Song Contest winner sounds like that. John, potted plots again. Two lovers enroll a North African ruler in the Order of the Papatachi, the most important rule of which is to eat, be silent, and be a model husband. Which opera is that? Don't say Aida.
No. It's not. Is it one of the well-known ones?
No, not particularly. The overture is about... I'll give you a hint. The overture ends like this. Listen. What doesn't, as Frank says, yeah. But the stamp of the composer was on it.
Sounds like Rossini.
Yes, Rossini. North Africa, please.
Siege of Corinth.
Oh, no. The Italian Girl in Algiers. Oh. Half a mark out of one. You got Rossini, and it was a very difficult one indeed. It was the Italian Girl in Algiers, first produced in Venice in 1813. Frank, an old housekeeper, a governess, two strange children. Which opera is that?
It's Britain.
Yes, that's right.
And it's Henry James.
That's right.
Novel, Turn of the Screw.
Turn of the Screw is right.
I can't read your writing.
Gets you a mark. Turn of the Screw by Britain from the Henry James story. Go to our final round, the singing. Dennis, right. You first. Answer in song, please. Who was full of that Yankee Doodledee and what was his name?
Dressed in khaki suits, gee, we looked swell, full of that Yankee doodly um. Half a million boots went slogging through hell, and I was the kid with the drum.
Right.
Yeah. Say, don't you remember? I'm trying to work out his name. I know what his name was. His name was Algy.
Yes.
Because it went... Don't they call me Al yeah. G? G, it was Al all the time. Yes.
I'll never try to find your key again. No. Dennis, no, no, no. I was
as you said, actually, about your piano, my voice is too precious to waste on this.
That's right. I was trying to find your key on the old 88, but I needed 89. That's really what it was. Yes.
I still think Dennis ought to do Piero Lunaire or Schoenberg one of these days.
Yes, perhaps he will.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Something to be looked forward to.
Dennis Norden sings Schoenberg.
Watch him queue up for that. Yeah. Have you got it in cassette? Yeah.
John, it's your turn. Bearing in mind, I don't know, perhaps Mozart's Marriage of Figaro or any other work that occurs to you, can you sing us a song in praise of Susanna?
Susanna's a funny poor man. Sing glasses or rings or long. Susanna's a funny poor man. I went to my dentist today. I can't quite get it.
So much for Mozart. Thank you. Yes, the old sour. I did say a song about Susanna, so that's fair enough for 2 marks. Frank, not to be outdone by your partner, could you sing us the song with which Prince Karl of Heidelberg serenades the waitress on whom he has set his heart?
Overhead, the moon is beaming, bright as blossoms on the bough. Northward was heard, but the song of the bird, filling all the air with brooding.
I think that was danger money for Frank, I think, as
Assassination by key manipulation, Mr. Race.
You couldn't get a bus ticket.
No, I let him find the key there, but I'm going to find Ian's for him. I'm going to give him the key of C, I think. That's your key. Ian, let me ask you first, do you support devolution for the country of your birth, which I happen to know is England?
The country of my birth is England, but yes. I am a Scot.
Well, exactly. So give us a song, please, about brave Scotland in the key of C major. Yes.
Hark, when the night is falling, hear, hear, the pipes are calling, loudly and proudly calling down through the glen. There where the hills are sleeping, now feel the blood a-leaping, high as the spirit of our old Hieland men. Towering in gallant fame, Scotland, my mountain hame, I may a proud standards gloriously wave. Land of my high endeavor, land of the shining river, land of my heart forever, Scotland the brave. And
with that ringing in our ears, we end this Sassenach show. A victory, I see, by 4 marks for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Shryer.